Hope you have your Bible this afternoon. Turn with us, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I started a while back, and some of you, if you listen to my radio program, you are going to get a rerun, something I preached before on the radio. But I started a while back preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians on the radio, not doing an in-depth study at all, just an overview of the book of 1 Corinthians. And I came upon this thought of biblical judging, and so I did a little more than an overview. And then I thought, hey, you know what, that'd be a good topic to share with the church. And so that's what we're going to do this afternoon with the Lord's help. I'm going to read a few verses here from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I hope you're not too tired and too sleepy, because it probably won't be a very quick sermon. But hopefully one that will help us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll read a few verses. Beginning in verse number 1, look what the Bible says. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Bible, and the opportunity, Lord, to read a portion of Scripture this afternoon. I pray you would help us and use us to be a help and a blessing and encouragement. God's people, help us to learn from your word and apply the truths that we learn to our hearts and our lives. And use us, Lord, I pray, to say things that will be pleasing to you. And help me, Lord, to refrain from saying anything that would be contrary to your way or word or will. I sure need your help for that. We thank you, Lord, for the good singing that we've heard this afternoon, the good fellowship. It's a real blessing. I pray you'd help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we understand that the world, whether it be the lost world or religious world, which, by the way, the religious world is also lost, if they have a very perverted view, I should say, of judging. And unfortunately, there are a lot of carnal Christians. I probably shouldn't say carnal Christians, probably should say believers. There are a lot of believers that also have a very mixed up view of what the Bible has to say about judging. And so with the help of the Lord today, I'm going to try to look and see what the Bible has to say about judging. We'll take a very brief look at these verses that we have just read for our text, and then we'll look at some other places in the Bible as well. But if you notice in verses 3 and 4, there are three types of judgment mentioned. Look at verse number 3, the first part of the verse. It says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Now, so what we have here at the beginning of verse number 3, the Apostle Paul said, when I came to the church of Corinth, and I realized that the church of Corinth was the city of Corinth, maybe I should say, the place of Corinth, it was a place that was filled with idolatry, a very sinful place, a very worldly place, a very carnal place, and it was a place where he knew that people worshiped false idols and pagan gods and all of that stuff. He said, but when I came to Corinth, I did the same thing there that I do in every place that I go, and that is I lifted up my voice and I preached unto those people that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He's the only hope of salvation. He's the only hope of eternal life. All other gods, man-made gods, idols that people worship, they're no god. They have no power to save, no power to redeem, or anything like that. And so if someone came by, he said, if I should be judged of you or of man's judgment, it's a very small thing. He said, so if someone came by and they tried to refute my sermon, they tried to refute my message, they tried to refute what I was preaching, I didn't think much of it. I considered it a very small thing. He said, I could care less of what they thought about my preaching because I know from the Lord that the message that I'm preaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ is the right message. I'm right and you're wrong. And so second of all, he says at the end of verse number 3, so we see the judgment of others. At the end of verse number 3, we see self-judgment, judgment of self. And so he said, let me read the verse together again. But with me it is very small things, and I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Then notice the last phrase. Yea, I judge not mine own self. Now, I don't know if this is the case with you or not. Oftentimes, our flesh is weak. We understand that. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Oftentimes, we preach to the best of our ability, the best of our knowledge. We have a desire to present the word of the Lord in truth. We have a desire to preach the truth from God's word. We don't want to preach anything incorrectly or anything wrong. We realize that the Bible is correct. The Bible is right as it stands. And oftentimes it is harsh. Oftentimes people are disrespectful towards the Word of God and disrespectful towards you if you preach the Word of God. And so if we're not careful, we'll get to the place or the mindset that maybe I'm too harsh or maybe I am too judgmental. Maybe, you know, and you get this, you know, this is a really good man. He's a really good person. We can think about Gamaliel even. Paul can think about that. Some people in the synagogue before he got saved, really, really good people, good moral people. And yet they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior because they're religious people. And so what can happen with that is sometimes you get alone with your thoughts and you get this idea, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't be so harsh. Maybe I shouldn't be so straight. Maybe I shouldn't be so narrow-minded. And so when that happens, what you have to do is you have to realize that, look, I'm not judging my own self. I'm going to preach the truth. I'm going to preach what thus saith the Lord, regardless of even what I think about it. Doesn't matter what others think about it. Doesn't matter what I think about it. God's word is right. God's word is correct. And if that's what the Bible says, that's what we have to proclaim, and that's what we have to do. So, Paul says, I judge not mine own self. I'm allowing the Word of God to judge me and not me judge myself as whether I'm right or wrong. The Bible is right. Now, so then we see in verse number 4, we see the third type of judgment, and that is the judgment of the Lord. This is what we're coming to. Verse number 4, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. And so we have a set standard of judgment, and that set standard of judgment is the Lord. Paul said the guy walking down the street, he disagrees with my message. It doesn't bother me that he tries to judge me. I'm sitting alone at the house and I start to feel sorry for myself. And I think, well, maybe I shouldn't be so narrow-minded. Maybe I shouldn't be so judgmental. No, I'm not going to judge myself. I'm going to let the Lord judge me. And the Lord says to preach my word, my way, the right way, and let the word of God take care of the thing. So we allow God's word to judge us. The word of the Lord is our standard. God's word is our standard of judgment. Let's allow God's word to judge us. If your flesh don't like it, and it's right, keep doing it because it's right. If your flesh enjoys it and it's not right, stop doing it. Amen. Allow God's word to determine what's correct. So, just a few things quickly about judging. First of all, spiritual men judge. Now, look at chapter 2. Point number 1, spiritual men judge. Look what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse number 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. So, first of all, are you saved? You claim that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If that is the case, you have received the Spirit which is of God. And so the Bible says, now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with our feelings. No, that's not what it says. It says comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Amen.
I tell you, what's wrong with the church world today, with the religious crowd today, is they want to judge everything by their feelings or by their emotions. Everything is judged by how they feel about it or how it makes them feel. If we feel good about it, it's right. If it feels bad, it's wrong. That's not the case, amen. If it makes me happy, if it makes me feel happy, it's got to be good. If it makes me feel sad, it's got to be bad. It ain't got nothing to do with your feelings. We are to judge spiritual things with spiritual. That's what the Bible says, amen. Now, we'll keep reading. Look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, verse 15. But he that is spiritual. You see that? But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now, I like scripture memorization. I think this is a verse that we should all commit to memory. And we should learn because the world and the carnal Christians, they only know one verse that they don't quote correctly, and they take out of context, and they say, judge not, lest you be judged. But I'll tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Amen. And so we ought to be able to respond with that great truth from the Bible. And so the carnal baby without a Bible has to resort to what he's confronted or talked about or something said that he doesn't like. He says, judge not, lest you be judged. I'm glad that the spiritual man has the Word of God and he has the ability because of the Word of God to judge all things in light of the Word of God. And yet he himself, as we read in our text, is judged of no man. Now look at verse 16. Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Ain't that a blessing? If you've been born again, you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. We have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. And if you have a Bible, we have in our hand the mind of Christ reduced to writing. He's given it to us. He's not withheld it from us. He's not keeping it from us. He has freely given us His Word. He has made it His responsibility to give us His Word, to preserve His Word, and to keep His Word from this generation and forever. And so we have the Bible. We have the Word of God. And so because of that, why would we allow the influence of carnal Christianity and the world that is full of wickedness and ungodliness, why would we allow them to reduce us to some kind of softy, some kind of effeminate, watered down, I don't know, yaddo bellied, good for nothing? We ought to take a stand. We have a Bible, amen. I'm not trying to be mean or rude or anything like that, but we had to stand for the truth of the Bible. Listen, adultery is wrong. Well, you shouldn't judge people. That's not my judgment. That's what the Bible says. Lying is wrong. Well, you shouldn't judge people. I'm not judging you. It's what the Bible says. And you could go on and on and on, and the list just keeps on going. And the reason that we have that authority and that ability is because the everlasting God has given us the everlasting Scripture. And if something was ever wrong, it's still wrong. And so I know that we're living in a time, it's not that it's something new, it's more prevalent than it's ever been. It's more exposed probably, or flaunted, I should say, than it's ever been. But sodomy and homosexuality, if it was ever wrong, it's wrong now. It's wrong in the Bible all the way back in the book of Genesis, and it's still wrong. It doesn't matter how much legislation they pass. It doesn't matter what our government approves of or what they allow. It doesn't matter what the entertainers promote. It doesn't matter what the athletes of this world try to prioritize or lift up. God said it was wrong, and I can tell you it's wrong. I can judge you in that matter because God said it was wrong. Amen. And so I'm thankful that we have God's Word. Amen. And so the news media, that liberal crowd, and they haven't changed what's right and wrong. They try to. In their mind, they've changed what's right and wrong. But in God's eyes, what's right and wrong has never changed. And so I'm thankful for that. So we're talking about judging. So what is the definition to judge? Well, to judge means to hear. You hear something, and you critically examine what you hear, and then you decide. So now and here's what's wrong. Deciding or making a decision without hearing, or making a decision without having the facts, I should say, is prejudice. In other words, you are prejudging. You're judging something, or you're making a decision about something based on a pretense. You don't have the facts. You don't have all the information. And oftentimes, if you hear something about somebody you don't really like anyway, you won't bother gathering all of the facts about the situation. You'll go ahead and have a prejudice against them and prejudge that situation. That's not judging. That's prejudice. And then there is, so we need to critically examine the facts against Scripture and then draw our conclusion. When we do that, we're judging, and that's what we're commanded to do from the Bible. Now, I realize I preached on the home this morning. I've been preaching on the home and family quite a bit from here and there throughout the year. And I realize that the internet and social media and all of the easy access to just everything you can think of in the days that we live, and television in the generations past, all of that has been a great tool of Satan to hasten the demise of our nation. And unfortunately, it has an unbelievable stronghold even on people who profess to know Christ as their Savior and church folks. And if we're not very careful, we're easily desensitized. We hear something so many times, or we see something X amount of times, or there's a large enough group of people that is going in that direction. If we're not careful, we will go with the flow instead of standing for what's right. Well, that's why I'm so thankful that God has given us a solid foundation on which to stand, and we can judge righteous judgment based upon truth of God's Word. We have the facts. And so I praise the Lord for that. And so there are many folks today, unfortunately, many Christians who they would not allow it in their home or in their living room if somebody were to bring it in. But because of different means of television, internet, all these different things, they laugh at and watch all kind of filth and adultery and all kinds of fornication, homosexuality, all kinds of junk. I want to tell you something. That mess has influenced the church. And we ought to make a righteous judgment based on spiritual fact. Then that mess is wrong and it's ungodly, and we're going to stand against it, amen. And so that is, well, you shouldn't judge. I'm not judging. The Bible already has. I'm standing on what thus saith the Lord. Amen. And so, now, you're more concerned with how your loved ones feel when they are shacking up and living in sin and living in worldliness and ungodliness, and you don't want anybody to tell them about sin. You don't want anybody to preach to them about their sin. You'd rather them go to hell than somebody judge them for their actions and how they're doing. Amen. And so spiritual men judge. Now, there's an opposite to that. Come to Matthew chapter 3. Spiritual men judge. Religious men despise judging. Well, ain't that the truth? Spiritual men judge. Religious men despise judging. Now, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist was the greatest man that ever lived. I don't find anywhere in the Bible where God's people, folks who knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, had a desire to live in the way that was pleasing to the Lord. I don't find anywhere that they were. Now, they rebuked sin, and they preached against sin, but they didn't really call a lot of people out because of their sin. They preached Jesus. But you get a hold of this religious crowd, this crowd that claims to know the Lord, and they profess to know God, and then they're living a wicked life. Throughout the Bible, when that's the case, when that religious crowd would do that, boy, Jesus would just lower the boom on. And he wasn't the only one. There's others. Look what the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 3. Look at verse number 7. Now, John is baptizing. And in verse number 7, it says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees," that's church-going people, "and Sadducees," that's church-going people, "they come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Now, he called them a generation of vipers. We know that in the Bible, Satan is referred to as a snake. He's a serpent. And so John called these people vipers. So it seems to me that he's referring to them as Satan's offspring. And you come in contact with a viper, that thing's going to kill you. Amen. And so he said, this is a harmless situation. It's not a good thing. It's a bad deal. And so John said, you religious folks, you're children of the devil. He said, judge not, lest you be judged. John wasn't one bit worried about what these Pharisees and Sadducees thought concerning his message. He wasn't concerned about them saying that he was right or wrong. He just went ahead and told them the truth. So God help us to go ahead and just tell the truth from the Bible. Come to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Paul is writing to Titus in Titus chapter 1. Titus is trying to get a church started in a place called Crete. And he's given him a little background, the folks that he's going to be dealing with in Crete. So Paul is writing to Titus, and he tells him in chapter 1, look at verse number 10. He said, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, there's that religious crowd again, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil-based, slow bellies. You say, oh man, that's mean. He shouldn't talk to people like that. He shouldn't talk about people like that. He shouldn't say those kind of things about people. Look what the very next verse says. This witness is true. You know what he did? He told the truth about these people. He said, well, he shouldn't be judging them. He's telling the truth about them. And so Paul said, you know what Paul the apostle said in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? He said, they're liars. They're evil beasts. They're slow bellies. That's what he's doing. He was judging them. Well, I don't think you ought to be judging. Well, you're going to have to tell somebody higher than me, amen. Because it's all through the Bible. Come to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Listen, you can't help somebody till you determine what condition they're in. Look at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. The deacon Stephen was preaching what turned out to be his farewell address. I don't think he knew that when he was preaching it, but that's how it turned out for him. But irregardless of the fact, he didn't let up. Amen. Look what he says. Look what he says in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Now, he's speaking to religious people, church-going people. All right? This is how he refers to them. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. You see what just happened? Stephen just judged this religious crowd. They didn't like him. In fact, they hated him. They gnashed on him with their teeth, and we find out that they stoned him, and they wound up stoning him to death. But boy, he just told them exactly like it was. He just rode back, preached the truth, told them the truth, told them what they were, called them what they were, and what a blessing. They got angry, but he told them the truth. Listen, I've already said it. You can't help them if you can't tell them the truth. Now, you say, well, Jesus would never do that. Well, come to Matthew chapter 23. Paul did it. Stephen did it. Jesus did it. I don't know. Well, let's read it. Matthew 23, look at verse 13. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Boy, that's some way to talk to somebody, ain't it? Verse 14. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Twice? Oh, he's not done yet. Verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. So you know what Jesus just called this religious crowd, this bunch of church-going people? He called them hypocrites, hypocrites, hypocrites. And then he said, you're going to make those proselytes twofold more the child of hell like yourselves. Well, I don't think you ought to judge. Well, Jesus just did, and he judged rather harshly. Amen. Now, look what he says in verse. Now, listen, I understand. This generation we live in today, you call somebody a hypocrite, tell them you're on the way to hell, you better either be running or hiding somewhere one another, because they're going to do the same thing to you they did to Stephen. They're going to stone you, amen, after they gnash on you with their teeth. They're not going to take it. But look, he didn't even stop there. Look at verse 17. Ye fools and blind. Well, that's not too nice. Verse number 19. Ye fools and blind. Verse 24. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat, swallow a camel. Verse 33. He can't get much worse than that. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Now, we ought to be kind to people. I understand that. But at the same time, we have to tell people the truth. Amen. When someone tells you that church membership can't save you, and water baptism doesn't save you, and going to church doesn't save you, you can't let up on that judgment. You can't let up on that truth. You have to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. He's the only hope of eternal life. And unfortunately, the only way that you can tell some people of that, everybody's saved where we live, until you ask them how they got saved, and they tell you, well, they joined the church, or they got baptized, or they I said, I'm good, I don't need that, I go to church over here, and all their salvation is based in that. No, you have to make a judgment. No, that doesn't save you. Only Jesus saves. And salvation is through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so sometimes you really have to get on to people for them to get a hold of that, amen. And so there's several things. Now, so we see that spiritual men judge and religious men despise judgment. So how are we to judge? Now, I know it's 3 o'clock already, and some of you have an automatic switch. And it starts activating around 3 o'clock. But there are, how do we judge? There are 7 things. Now I wanted to tell you that because when I did 3 and you were waiting for a poem and it didn't come, there's 7. Amen. So how do we judge? First of all, we judge by the Word of God. Let me show you. Come to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse number 4. I will go through these quickly. I don't want you to think I'm going to keep you all night. But sometimes I think we get in such a big hurry, the Lord don't even have time to work in our hearts. And we're such in a hurry to get on to the next thing that we miss what the Lord has in store for us. And so how do we judge? Well, first of all, we judge by God's Word. Look at Psalm 33. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, for the word of the Lord is right. Boy, ain't that a blessing. We have one thing. I'm not upset at you. I don't, whatever you do, that's fine. I listen. I read. I have no idea if the news that I hear anymore is true or not. I don't believe any of the news stations. I think every one of them will lie to you. I the majority of the news that I get or that I hear now, I read on the internet. I believe very little of it. I believe that our news media and all that stuff has gotten so corrupt that everybody has an agenda. Everybody wants to spin the thing the way they like it. If they're conservative, they're going to spin it towards them. If they love Donald Trump, they're going to spin it towards him. If they hate Donald Trump, they're going to spin it a different direction. If they're liberal, they're going to spin it another way. I don't believe any of them. If you believe all of them, that's up to you. Help yourself. I don't believe none of them. But I believe this. And you know what the Bible said that I just read? For the word of the Lord is right. So, regardless of which one of those politicians, which one of those news agencies, whatever it may be, that you have your confidence in, that you believe in, they may change tomorrow. They may have been conservative last week. They may be liberal next week. They may have been for the things that you like this week. They may be against those things next week. But God's Word is right. And it always will be right. And so when we judge, we have confidence that we can judge by God's Word because it never changes. So the verse says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth." So, you know what I know about alcohol? It's wrong. I know that from the Bible, and the Bible's never going to change. You know what I know about drugs? It's wrong. I know that from the Bible, and the Bible will never change. You know what I know about stealing? I know that it's wrong because the Bible says it's wrong and it will never change. You can go right down the list over and over and over with all kinds of things and you can say, you know what? The Word of the Lord is right and the Word of God is never going to change. And so if God's Word says it's wrong, it's wrong. And if God's Word says it's right, it's right. So how do we judge? We judge by the Word of God. Now, come to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. How do we judge? We judge by the Word of God. How do we judge? Number two, we make sure we have all the facts. I am forever being called into question by two groups of people, and each one has a story, each one has their definition of truth, and without the facts, I cannot make a judgment. Look at John chapter 7. Jesus Christ is speaking here. In John chapter 7, and look what he says in verse number 24. He says, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." So we're not to judge based on our initial impression. In fact, we are to critically examine before we make a decision or before we decide on our judging. If we don't, if we make a decision before we have all the facts, then we are doing what we talked about earlier. We are prejudging. We're being prejudiced. We're making a decision without the needed or necessary information. I think I made mention of that this morning. Somebody, the preacher, may be preaching on a particular sin, and you give an invitation, and people come to the altar. Just because that individual came to the altar, you can't automatically assume that they came because they were guilty of that particular sin that the preacher was preaching on. Now, if you were to come and talk to that individual and they confess to you that that's the problem, then you know what the situation is and you can proceed accordingly. But if you don't have the facts, you can't just assume and be right. I've made this illustration numerous times. I've had him to call me and talk about her, and I'd be like, man, somebody ought to put her on a train and run her down the rails and get rid of her as fast as they can. And the next day she calls, and I think somebody ought to get an oak tree and a real long rope. And you know why? Because she has a story, and he has a story. I don't have a clue. I wasn't there. And if you can't get those two together, even if you get the two of them together, which is highly unlikely, but if you can, and you hear, and you try to mediate and figure out the facts, there's still three sides to every story, his, hers, and the truth. And so, but it's hard to make a judgment. You can't make a judgment unless you have all the facts. So before you make a judgment, have the facts. That's why it's no problem to judge biblical things. You have the facts, amen. Have God's Word. Now, come to 1 John chapter 4. We're already on the third one, and it's only 5 after 3. See how fast that's going? Amen. It may not always go that fast, but right now it's moving good. 1 John chapter 4. So, number 3. So, how do we judge? By God's Word, by making sure we have all the facts. And number 3 is by trying the Spirit. Now, look at verse chapter 4. I'm just going to read, and I'll just go along as I read. Look at verse number 4, or chapter 4, verse number 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit." Well, that's important. You know why? Because we're living in a day, well, I felt this, or I heard this, or, well, the Spirit said, or the Lord spoke to me. Well, if that lines up with Scripture, we'll nod our head. If that goes contrary to the Spirit, to the Scripture, I'm not doubting that a spirit told you that. But it certainly wasn't the Holy Spirit. So it says, beloved, believe not every spirit. You know what that means? There's more than one. We're interested in what thus saith the Holy Spirit. What saith the Bible? Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, plural, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. So you have, they say, well, I just don't see anything wrong. You know, we love each other. It's a monogamous relationship. I don't see anything wrong with us shacking up and living together before marriage. The Bible has a word for that. It's called chambering. And it doesn't matter how you feel about it. It don't matter how you think the Spirit spoke to you. It doesn't matter who told you that the Spirit told them it was all right. It's contrary to the Bible. And so it's a very easy judgment, amen, that it is not right. It's incorrect. And so, now, people can really go on emotions and feelings in the day we live in. That's a dangerous thing. I'm not against emotions. I like being emotional. Sometimes the Lord begins to speak to my heart, and it's a very emotional time. I want to worship Him. I want to praise Him. I get excited about it. But I'll tell you, you start making decisions in your life and accepting things in your everyday life, or agreeing with things in your everyday life, and going along with things in your everyday life, and you have this mentality that, well, I feel that it's okay. You might feel that it's okay, but you better try that spirit. You might say it's all right, but you better try that spirit. You better put that spirit on trial, and you try that spirit by the Word of God. Compare that to the Word of God, and if it's contrary to God's Word, I can promise you this. It ain't right, amen. And so how do we judge? We judge by God's Word. We judge by making sure we have all the facts. We judge by trying the spirits. Now come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's something you don't see a lot of. Allow the saints to judge. Now look at this. I'm closer to being finished than I was. Dare any of you, chapter 6, verse 1, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that should be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now, here's what the Lord said about judgment. Because we have the Word of God, and we can go by God's Word. We can use God's Word as our guideline. And because of that, you don't have to have any law training. You don't have to have any special training, any kind of special knowledge. And you can be judged by the least in the church. Not because you're a know-it-all, but because you have a Bible. And the Bible tells us what's right, and the Bible tells us what's wrong. And the reason that people that claim to be saved, take each other to the law instead of going before the church, is because they don't want to hear what the Bible has to say concerning their situation. And so, I'm glad we have the Bible, amen. And we can set in judgment of this book. What a blessing. And so allow the saints to judge. Number 5, judge righteously. Come to Proverbs chapter 31. Judge righteously. Proverbs 31. Verse number 9. Why don't you turn in there? I'm going to get a drink of water. Proverbs 31:9. Look what the Bible says, talking about judging righteously. Here's a command from the Lord. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Now, you know what God just told you to do? To judge.
and he told you to judge righteously. And so in that carnal crowd, that unworldly crowd, that ungodly crowd, they misquote a half of a verse they can't find in the Bible. Just say, sorry, I'm sorry, but you said it backwards. The Lord told me to judge, and he told me to judge righteously. Now, two more. Come to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. We're to judge without respect of persons. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Verse number 16. Deuteronomy 1:16, and I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren and judge righteously between every man and his brother and the stranger that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. So it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter. The Bible said here, it could be brethren. It could be a stranger. Don't be a respecter of persons. It may be your family. It may be my family. It may be the most prominent person in the church or the least esteemed person in the church. It doesn't matter. Amen. We are to judge righteous judgment and judge without respect of persons. Now verse 23. Look at verse 23. You find it. It's in Proverbs. Proverbs 24. And verse 23 says this, I'll just read, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. And so we're to judge without respect of persons. Now, come to Matthew chapter 7, and this is our last one. And I'll actually take you to the verse that everybody misquotes, and we'll look at it and say some things about it. So how do we judge? Well, we judge by God's word. We judge by making sure we have all the facts, by trying the Spirit, allow the saints to judge and judge righteously. We judge without respect to persons. And number seven, we must be prepared to receive judgment. So here's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1. Look what it says. Judge not that ye be not judged. It doesn't say judge not lest ye be judged. It says judge not that ye be not judged. So there's a warning giving. For with my judgment, with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite. Now here you go. First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And so if you're living in a particular sin, involved in a particular sin, doing something that is not right, you better get that beam out of your own eye before you start trying to cast the beam out of somebody else's eye. But if the Lord has given you victory over a particular thing, you have every right to tell someone else that that is not right. It's wrong for them to do that. It's wrong for them to behave that way. But pay particular attention to the fact the Bible says, for what judgment you judge, you shall be judged again. So if you're going to judge, be prepared to receive judgment. Be prepared to be judged. And so if you're one of these individuals that run around nitpicking every little thing and you're satisfied with nothing and you just got to put your 2 cents worth in on everything there is, you better be prepared to receive judgment. Because you better expect to be judged if you're judgmental. And we're living in a very judgmental generation. And so you better be careful about how judgmental you are, because you're going to be receiving the same kind of judgment. And, you know, come to Romans chapter 2. I'm almost done. Romans chapter 2. I was done for some of you a long time ago. I'll be done for all of you here in a minute. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. I don't know about you. I praise the Lord we have a Bible. Thank God for His Word. Now, Romans chapter 2, look at verse number 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? So this ties into what we just read in Matthew chapter 7. If you jump down somebody's throat for drinking, you better hope you don't have a bottle hid in the barn. If you jump down somebody's throat for some kind of immorality, you better hope you don't have some kind of immorality hidden in your closet. And so the very fact that I judge something as being wrong is my testimony that that is wrong. And so the Lord says, when you're critical, examine, and you decide before you pass sentence on somebody else, you better pass sentence on yourself first. So before I criticize somebody for gossip, I better think if I've been telling anybody gossip. I think one reason that there's not a lot of open rebuke. There's a lot of judging of others behind their back. But Lord, help us to live right, do right, amen. Now, there's several other verses that we could look at in conclusion, but we'll just stop there. There is a biblical way that the Bible teaches that we are to judge things. And may the Lord help us to do all things according to His Word. Amen. Father, thank You for the Bible, for an opportunity, Lord, to look at